So here we are again with the Dark City Show, and this tonight we thought we'd talk a little bit about food, about herbal medicine. Everybody's always saying you are what you eat, but then they go and eat all kinds of crap, and then they wonder why they get ill. So tonight on the crew we've got me, Prajna, and we've got Carly sat right next to me. We've got Bob, as always. We've got Sudama, Robo, Wonders hiding away there, and Dawn's beavering away trying to get her Windows computer, or computorium, as Vosto likes to say, working again. So it'd be good, Sudama, would you tell us a little bit about turmeric? Because I think turmeric is a wonder food. Every time I'm cooking anything, I put some turmeric in it. Can you tell us a bit about it?
Yeah, turmeric, it's an amazing thing that I've found recently. I've always used it for years in all my cooking. And besides adding flavour to food, it purifies the blood. It's really good for skin conditions. It's the main organs that turmeric treats, are the skin, heart, liver and lungs. Turmeric is used for epilepsy, for bleeding disorders, skin diseases, purified body and mind, helps the lungs. It's an alternative analgesic, or whatever that I ever pronounced that word.
Analgesic, we like to call them, yep.
That's the one for us, isn't it? It's got over 20 different antibacterials, and so it's a good, really good antibiotic, anti-inflammatory, 12 anti-tumours, 14 anti-cancers, it's anti-allergic, antioxidant, antiseptic, antispasmodic, appetizer, astringent, cardiovascular, calmative. It's basically, it's a heal-all. It's one of the heal-alls, a bit like cannabis, really, but a lot cheaper. Pain relief. I know it works. I've used it on my son a few times. He had an abscess where I hadn't been looking after his teeth properly. And we went to the hospital, and they were trying to say that he needed antibiotics and pain relief, even though he didn't have any pain relief at the time, because I'd given him some turmeric in hot milk the day before, and he was totally out of pain. I'd mixed some potassium bicarbonate up with salt and put a bit on a cotton wool bud, held it just to the bottom of his gum, and that had drawn the abscess out and started making it leak. So I don't know the exact proper term for it, but it started draining his abscess. And then with turmeric, and we ended up going to the local hospital, and then we had to go to another hospital, local hospital, three times, getting progressively worse. You know, I was basically told that if he didn't have antibiotics there and then, he was going to die. But we just ignored him because we knew it was only going to be 45 minutes before we saw the specialist. When we saw the specialist, she was really happy with the way it was going and how fast it had been, started draining. She said even if they, whatever medicines they'd have given us, the pharmaceutical, wouldn't have started the abscess draining so quick. And within 3 days, his abscess was totally cleared up, and he went and had three teeth taken out. And the only thing he had from them was the injections in his gums for his teeth. We got given a sheet of paper after that saying the pain would be getting worse over 2 weeks and everything. But when we got home that day, the stitching was annoying him. So being a teenager, he pulled the stitching out, and then I sprinkled a teaspoon of turmeric all over, well, half a teaspoon of turmeric all over his gum, his open gums, and he didn't have any pain at all, and it was all healed up within 3 days. And he's recently just cut his toe, and I've used turmeric on there, and it stopped the bleeding, and his toe's near enough totally healed up in 3 or 4 days as well. So it's a miracle, another miracle herb.
So you can use it topically as well as ingest it, yeah?
Yeah, you can mix it in. If you look online, there's a few different ways to suggest it, like mixing it into a paste with different things like ghee or oil and applying it. There's one thing I saw recently say it's really good for putting your face. I don't know how that would stain your face and how long you'd look yellow for.
Actually, where turmeric does stain everything. You can always tell a good kitchen because everything's stained yellow. But a couple of things happen with the yellow stain from turmeric. One is that sunlight breaks it down. And turmeric is also antifungal. But if you're going to use it as an antifungal, you want to put it on and then expose it to sunlight. and the sunlight changes the turmeric and changes it into another active form that is fungicidal. And the other thing that I saw was that chickpea flour, if you're going to use it for a skin treatment, you'll be left with a yellow stain on there, and rubbing it with chickpea flour apparently removes that staining.
Do you have to mix the chickpea flour with anything, or do we know?
It didn't say.
Say. Okay, further research. Well, isn't it amazing that these foods and spices, which we take for granted and think nothing of, provide so many medicines for us? They've all got so many medicinal qualities.
The other thing is, in English cooking, you know, people put a few little flakes of mint in there and a quarter of a teaspoon of basil or whatever. These are medicines. And one of the reasons that curries taste strong is not because they put lots of hot spices in, but there are lots of spices in general, and they put lots of spices in because it's a medicine. It's designed to give you a whole lot of things that that the normal fruit and vegetables don't supply you with. So do heap them in good. Some spices, of course, you have to be a little bit careful of. Something like cumin, you don't want to put too much of that in because it's got a very, very strong flavor. But turmeric has a very mild flavor, and it does add a lovely color to things if you're cooking as well. Cloves also, Robo pointed out, cloves have got very, very strong flavor. Again, really medicinal. If you've got any mouth problems, again, cloves are fantastic for any mouth problems. They'll instantly relieve a toothache. If you put some clove oil directly on the toothache, admittedly, your mouth's going to be buzzing a little bit from the cloves, but your toothache will be gone, that's for sure.
It's just occurred to me, and we did briefly say before we came on the show, wouldn't it be great if listeners could call in with their top tips for using food and spices and herbs as medicine? Because there's bound to be a lot out there that we don't know about. So, yeah, get calling and give us your top tips for food as medicine.
One of the things I found out about last year was hawthorn. Anyone who's got any heart problems, hawthorn, there are a lot of herbs that are what they call an adaptogen. An adaptogen means if you've got a blood pressure herb that's an adaptogen, it means if your blood pressure is too high, it will bring it down, and if it's too low, it will bring it up. I think some sage said this about tea one time. Tea is the most wonderful stuff, because if you're hot, it will cool you down, and if you're cold, it will warm you up. And these are what adaptogens are. And hawthorn is like that for heart problems.
Hawthorn leaf, isn't it? Hawthorn leaf tea.
Hawthorn leaf tea. And it's actually very pleasant tea as well.
Yeah, there's also...
Who wants to follow on from that? Sudama.
In India, you've got cinnamon as well. If you get some cinnamon and grind it down and take that, it's actually like insulin, so it's really good for diabetics. So if anyone's got starting to get diabetes, if you want to start trying cinnamon first before with the diet, that might help them out. And also cardamom, if you take 3 grams of powdered cardamom seeds, the actual seeds inside, a day, it helps get rid of blood clots, but it doesn't raise the blood lipids and something else, which all the pharmaceuticals they give you to get rid of blood clots do. There's been quite a bit of research and testing there.
So if anyone's going on a long-haul flight where there is a danger of thrombosis, if they maybe ground up some cardamom seeds before going, then that would alleviate that danger? Maybe,
yeah,
probably.
I'd say, yeah, just start taking the 3 grams of cardamom, ground cardamom seeds, every day for about a month, 2 months before you went, and you'd definitely be fine. Because it's safe, takes, I think, 3 grams a day over, I think it was either a month or 3 months, and then there's no sign of the blood clots. Also, another good herb that looks a bit like a daisy is feverfew. And I know for a fact it's excellent for migraines and headaches.
It's good for migraines, and the other... the other similar one is St. John's wort, which is very good for depression. And I understand in Germany, doctors will first prescribe people St. John's wort, and they won't try any other antidepressants until someone's given St. John's wort a chance. And many years ago, when I was suffering depression after my divorce, I had St. John's wort. And I had the crazy thing was that I had all the same thoughts, depressed thoughts that I had before I took it, but I didn't have the depressed feelings. And it's a bit hard to keep hold of these depressed thoughts about how bad and how terrible the world really is when your feelings aren't backing the thoughts up. So they're rather marvelous, all these herbs and the way that they work.
You've got to be careful with St. John's wort, though, haven't you? If you can't take any of the pharmaceuticals and different things, same with like most Maoris, I believe.
Yeah, I think you have to come off any sort of pharmaceuticals and antidepressants you might be taking before going on to the St. John's wort, don't you?
Really, before you start dosing yourself up, even with herbs, you need to get a good herbal book. And check out. They will have warnings if there are interactions with other drugs. St. John's wort is only one of the herbs that will have strong interactions with other drugs. But other herbs will do so as well. And also things like pregnancy. Some herbs are not good herbs to take during pregnancy. In fact, turmeric is wonderful for all kinds of things, but if you're trying to have babies, it's time to lay off the turmeric for a bit, because it also stops your fertility for a while as well. So that's something else to bear in mind.
But in the sort of reverse of that, if you're looking for some birth control methods that don't fill your body full of artificial hormones, then turmeric, maybe.
It might not be guaranteed, but then no form of contraception is completely guaranteed either. I have a really good book, actually. It's buried away in the bookshelf. I should dig it out. It's a herbal encyclopedia, and it's by a guy who's a member of the National Association of Medical Herbalists. And it's a very, very good book.
It's Can you one, remember it's, his name?
I can't, but I'll just go and dig it out.
Is his name Andrew something?
Yes, Chevalier.
Chevalier, Andrew Chevalier. Well done, yeah. Sudama.
He runs the course at the university down London, University of Westminster, I think. He runs the herbal course there.
I've got another top tip for anyone suffering from breathing disorders such as asthma or you know, whatever it might be. Onion, raw onion for asthma is supposed to be a good treatment. And if you combine that with some chili and stuff, then, yeah, that should help alleviate those symptoms. I'm not sure that it actually cures the ailment, but it certainly will alleviate the symptoms.
Another thing I was going to point out is a very, very good medical herb is garlic. It's a fantastic medical herb, and we have it in all kinds of things, but according to Ayurveda, the Indian traditional form of medicine, they say that garlic is a medicine. It shouldn't be eaten just as an ordinary meal. It's something that you use for treating particular ailments.
Sorry, Sudama, what did you say?
I just read about turmeric. It says turmeric helps to regulate the female reproductive system and purifies the uterus and breast milk. And in men, it purifies and builds semen, which is a counterintuitive for a pungent bitter. Whatever that last bit means. So you're saying taking a lot of turmeric stop people getting pregnant, but it may have the other effect. That perhaps why there's a lot of babies in India.
Okay, it's always worth saying, people, do your own research, because we may be getting this
wrong. Did you want to say something there, Bob?
Point, though, and that is that different foods are better for women than they are for men. And now we look at all the Muslims and we see that women eat in a different room from the men, and there's all this segregation and so on. I'm sure it didn't start out like that. I'm sure that the way it started out was that whoever was feeding everyone knew that there were foods and there were herbs and there were spices that were particularly beneficial to women and other ones that were particularly beneficial to men. And they all sat around the table, but they had different foods, which were what they needed. And of course, like everything, all knowledge, it gets perverted and it ends up almost being the reverse of itself. So now you've got all of this discrimination and so on that's resulted from it. But originally it came from a good source, and that is that different spices do different things to different people. Turmeric, because it clears out the uterus, this is why it doesn't want to be used in pregnancy. And I've been told that if you're trying to get pregnant, it's a good thing to avoid as well. It may be a good thing to feed your bloke, but it's not a good thing for women to take if they're trying to get pregnant.
Okay.
I've got a good friend of mine here, Christina, and she's got a few things she's going to let you know.
Well, that'd be great.
Well, shut up, then.
First of all, Prajna, the garlic. If you roast garlic in your oven and then add oil with it, it's supposed to be a really good cure for children's earache. Not so much adults, but children's, it does particularly work. It is something I've used myself on two of my children, and I find it is a really good remedy. And ginger also, it's an actual detox, I think, and I do feel, and think a lot of females would agree, it does actually work for morning sickness and travel sickness. What would your views be on that?
Just before we go to Prajna's views on that, you know, you were saying about the roasted garlic roasted in oil for earache. So is the oil used in the ear, or is the child given the garlic to eat once it's been roasted, or what's that procedure? Hello, Christina, yeah. By the way.
Hello.
Nice to speak to you again.
You too. I missed the last little bit of that. What was that?
I was just wondering how you use the roasted garlic in oil to treat earache in kids.
Well, what I did, I just put the garlic in the oven in a small dish with olive oil, roasted it together, and then just ground it down a little bit, put it through a sieve to drain everything from it, and then just syringe tiny little bits into the rear. And
all right.
Work.
Brilliant. I've never heard that before. That's another top tip.
I'm just pointing out that John's put in chat a link to a Facebook page about Ayurvedic medicine, and that looks quite interesting too.
The Ayurvedic Institute something on Facebook. What's the name of the page, John? Can you put that in the chat for us,
It'll
please?
It'll be the Ayurvedic Institute, yeah.
Okay.
Damiana, which is a herb that Dom introduced us to. When we were making chai in the camp last year, Dom came along. Actually, he made us our first pot of chai with all kinds of herbs and things in. In the past, when I'd had chai, I was very snobby about it and used to just have cardamoms and ginger and tea and stuff. And then Dom came along with all these wonderful herbs. But the real magic one, I thought, was this Damiana, which I'd never come across before. And this is what Andrew Chevalier has to say about it as a sexual restorative. Due to its, I'm going to have to get my glasses out, tetragenic quality, Damiana has always been principally a herb for men, helpful in treating premature ejaculation and impotence. It is, however, beneficial for both men and women.
I'll say.
Being considered a restorative to the reproductive organ of both sexes. Well, actually, I reckon it was great. You don't need any of your, what's the stuff they're always trying
Viagra.
To sell you? That's the one. they used to send me emails about that kind of thing. How they knew, I have no idea. But but certainly Damiana was an answer to that.
It's quite difficult to get hold of Damiana, though, isn't it? I mean, we did search a few websites and a few health food stores and whatnot, and it found it to be really expensive and difficult to obtain.
Yeah, a lot of them do it as powders or other preparations, but all you want is just the ordinary herb leaf of Damiana. Stick it in a cup of tea or something like that. Taste is fine, lovely, and
the after effects are very Viagra-like.
It might just have been the fresh air and excitement of being at the camp, but you know, it certainly seemed to add a certain amount of persistence and enthusiasm to things.
It was a little bit embarrassing because we were actually living in a tent at the time, and Dom was wandering around outside on his phone. Yeah, it was time to eat the pillow. Sorry, I'm going.
Carly's going to cook a little bit. Who'd like to? Who's got some more tips?
Well, there's plenty of herbs out there that are superfoods as well as being medicines. I mean, top of my mind, maca comes to thought, which is really good for balancing hormonal problems, as well as I know that they use it, I think, in a lot of these penis enlarging tablets as well, because it's supposed to, I'm not sure exactly on that respect, I just know it mainly it's a hormone balancer. And it's supposed to improve.
Dawn would like to get in too. So.
Oh, I've also heard chia seeds are quite good as well for your health, particularly reducing your blood pressure. And the chia gel is good for athletes for hydrating their body. It also helps you to feel fuller faster as well, because they absorb 10 times their weight in water. Which in forming a bulky gel. They're good for people with diabetes as well, because they can slow down how fast our bodies convert carbohydrates into simple sugars. And the studies also indicated they can control blood sugar levels as well. And they're also quite easy to digest, much easier than flax seeds, and they don't need to be ground up. So there's a few benefits with chia seeds. I have heard of other benefits. I would need to look more into it, but omega-3 as well. They're the richest plant source of omega-3. They've got vital fats that protect against inflammation such as arthritis and heart disease, and they contain more omega-3 than salmon. So there you go. There's a few things. Also, some foods can affect your mood as well. Like, for example, okay, I'll give you an example. Whenever I eat chocolate, I find I get irritable and crabby and irrational. But yeah, there is research to back up what I'm claiming as well, with like foods like chocolate and coffee and whatnot. If anybody else has got any stories about how foods can affect their moods, whether it's positively or negatively, you could call in, or if there's anybody in the crew who has any stories to do with that, that would be really interesting to hear.
Well,
we got someone in the chat. Oh, sorry, Paul.
No, it's okay. Continue.
We've got web user 28212 in the chat saying lavender, great relaxant. Actually, it's famous for that. A lot of people used to have lavender pillows and so on to help them go to sleep. Antibacterial and antifungal, cures scars and so on too.
Great for burns, lavender. Actually, I once opened a pressure cooker before I'd actually depressurized it, so the soup that was in it exploded all over my arm, and it was very hot. But yeah, I rubbed in some lavender essential oil, and it just took the heat right out instantly. It was brilliant.
The other thing is people should get out into the hedgerows and along paths and out in the countryside as well, because there are some herbs. You know, even in any patch of grass, you'll find plantain. And another name for plantain is Englishman's footsteps, because anywhere that the English went, they took plantain with them. And the reason for that is because it's very good for sprains and strains and treating quite a few different things. And there are a lot of these herbs. That's another place that you'll find something like St. John's wort is just growing on banks and on the side of the road. Although, of course, you do need to be a bit careful because driving up and down the roads, you've got all these dirty cars leaving all the mess and so on behind. So you need to find somewhere that really that the same sort of plants are growing away from the road, and then you get some good herbs you can use.
Well, as I was going to say earlier, I kind of look at things a little bit differently. And there are, I could ream off loads and loads and loads of different herbs, not just herbs, things like honey. You should not be without it. Antiseptic, you know, amongst other things. Propolis, but we'll leave that for Narisi's show tomorrow, I think. You see, my thing is, many people are trying to cure ailments. They're using all sorts of potions or remedies, and some of them work brilliantly. And once things have gone too far, take our Rick Simpson, and his cure for cancer. There's no dispute. And you can cure cancer with water if you've got the power of that placebo, of that consciousness of mind. No, I'm sure you can. But I'm sure you could do it with an old piece of trout if you've got that. Doesn't need to be water. You could heal yourself with anything. Difference there, of course, with cannabis and the cannabis oils. Is it Delta 9? Get it right. I'm learning all this at the moment. It doesn't matter whether you have the consciousness or you have that will or focus to heal. It will put your body into a position where you'll heal it. So, of course, there are remedies about. But like I say, I look at all this with a little bit different to most. I would say that all disease, illness, stems from ill-ease. If you're at ease with your situation, people you're around, and so forth, then your natural senses guide you towards the foods that you require. Of course, loads of pregnant women will be fully aware, or women who've been pregnant will be fully aware of what I'm speaking of when they get cravings for certain foods. These are obviously because they've got a mineral deficiency or some deficiency of some form, so they start to want to eat certain foods, which sometimes are a bit extraordinary. So yeah, if you can bring yourself and settle yourself, then literally your natural healing system will take place. So yeah, a lot of the time we're running around trying to solve a problem, and really the running around trying to solve the problem actually creates the ill ease, which then manifests fully into the physical body as disease. I've explained this on a couple of occasions. My favourite is Gladio, consciously fighting against something or trying to research something or putting all your time and effort into something you can't possibly do anything about anyway. These, in my opinion, create ill ease. We're not easy with our situation. Of course, in many cases, you'd be right not to be easy. You know, there are some dangers in life. Of course, there are very few dangers if you're living in the UK. I mean, you're more likely to get... Your biggest danger is getting the bailiffs at your door, really, monetary kind of things. We don't have a vast amount of crime compared to most countries. But yet, many people in the UK, you know, they fortify their homes and they protect themselves from this, what is it, as Billick says, a an AIDS-infected crack-smoking Rottweiler. You know, the Fear Factory creates that. The scenarios of war and destruction going on all around us. And all the time, we're getting less and less at ease with ourselves in the moments that we're all in. Each and every one of us, of course. I mean, this is an individual thing. And if you're not at ease with yourself in the moment, then you may be looking for a cure for something that's incurable. If you could remove the ill-ease we have, if we could stop worrying and stop looking for the enemy, start to see the adversary, start to celebrate just because we're here, start to be aware of our breath, notice how rhythmic it can be, and that you can suddenly start to be breathing shallow, returning yourself back to a rhythmic breathing pattern, becoming settled in your moment. See, most of us, we're not getting enough oxygen. We're not breathing correctly. And if you go and look at all the stories out there, there seems to be a hell of a lot going on to affect our atmosphere. Whatever it may be, is definitely something is affecting the atmosphere. It's getting less and less oxygen. People don't think, can't compute correctly when you have a lack of oxygen. Majority of people are partially dehydrated most of the time. Most of us aren't actually hydrated. We kind of have got used to running along a level where we're dehydrated. We're not breathing correctly. We've got a lack of oxygen. And we wonder why we make silly mistakes and repeat over and over again. So to me, it's really simple. Of course, you need to have a healthy diet. You know, if you're living on baked beans and McDonald's, then, you know, you really need to make a few adjustments in your life. But even if you are living on baked beans and McDonald's, what I'm talking about, you can begin right now. There's nothing, you don't have to go and buy anything, you don't have to, you know, have a sacred chant of Balugibu, you've got to go and learn, or, you know, you don't need incense or a candle, you don't need anything, nothing at all. You can just begin to focus on your breath and begin to breathe rhythmically. Start to breathe deeper. And what I mean by breathing deep, you should breathe right down to the bottom of your diaphragm until your actual shoulder blades move. Good breath, and then release it. Just let it go out. Don't try and force it, just let it go out. And breathe in again. And feel that. Just feel it entering your body. You'll start to become more settled. 2 seconds. That's all it takes, really, no more than a minute. You make that part of your daily routine. Just do it a minute or two a day. Drink a glass of water in the morning. Give your body a good start. Let it flush some of the stuff out. Pure water's better. I mean, I know the scare things of mineral water. When you get yourself settled, you'll be amazed what that physical body can do if you give it a chance. Just got to give it a chance. Anyway, I think Saduma would like to get in there. Is that right?
Yeah, with what you were saying then, it reminded me of a story I heard years ago. There was a young, very young boy, and he had an inoperable cancer. It was one of these cancers they had no solution, nothing they could do for him. And the boy, when he went into the hospital, he asked if he could see a picture of the cancer, what it looked like. And so they showed him. And then the next time he went back in 6 months or a year, 6 months later for a checkup, all the cancer had totally disappeared. And when the doctors asked him what he'd done different, the boy says, well, you showed me what it looked like. So every night when I went to sleep, I just imagined myself getting into a little ship and going around my body and shooting and destroying all the cancer. And it totally disappeared in 6 months.
Yeah, this was a younger child?
Yeah. I think he was 10 or younger. He was a very young child, yeah. It's years ago since I heard the story. It must be about 15 plus years.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me, man. The you know, that placebo, the imagination, it's powerful too. Really powerful too.
Yeah, very. It's amazing what you can do with the mind.
Excuse me. muted microphone routine. How many times have we done that? So, yeah, focus of attention, Sudhumar. I'm pretty big on this. I've been through a few, what would you say, healing episodes? Is that the right terminology? I don't know. I've had a few ailments. And I've found for me, it's almost a placebo effect. I just need something to trigger my consciousness so I can get into a position where I can allow my body to begin to heal. Now, of course, that's not for everyone. I mean, some people kind of look at energy healing as being completely hocus-pocus. Some people can say, well, this crystal energy works. You put a crystal in one person's hand, and they'll respond, wow. And another one will look at you like you're absolutely stupid, and they'll feel no effect from it at all. So, you know, following this analogy of energy healing, I worked with a guy a while ago who was an acupuncturist. And at those times, I've worked with the multidimensional energy systems. This is about manipulating energy around your physical body. And I'd worked with that. And the guy was called Paul, same as myself, Paul O'Reilly. And he just qualified at Manchester Acupuncture School. And he was telling me a few things about pressure points on the body and how to release natural painkillers, endorphin, into your body, which does work. I tried it the other day when I was having a tattoo, and it worked really well. And then we had a discussion, and I showed him a few of the energy techniques. And his response was, why do we use needles? Why do we use... He said, that is acupuncture without needles. Well, because some people need to have something rammed into them before they'll actually realise it works. Others will need a surgeon to cut a hole in them. That's how it is.
This is another... Paul, this is another thing that... Freud was talking about, he was saying, before you try and heal anyone, you should first of all dispose of all their family, saying very much that, you know...
The same man used to drill holes in people's heads to release the tension prize, you know? I mean, you know, okay, there may be some validity in Floyd's work, but the guy was a raving psychopath. He was just a lunatic. And why we'd actually use the work of such people is beyond me. I think you'd be better, rather than reading Floyd, you'd be better, I don't know, praying to Zelzebub. you really would. You'd probably get more effect. Modern-day psychology and sociology that stem from such teachings is a preposterous way of living. It has no validity at all in the 21st century. Of course, these things, in my opinion, are slowly dying out, some of them quicker than others. I know people keep saying we're all waking up. I have no ambition to wake up at all. I have woken once or twice, and no, thank you very much indeed. I'm quite happy in my slumber. Like I say, my point I was trying to make was it's what works for you. You know, some people need the acupuncture needle. Some people can't. Do it with a crystal. Some people just are going for a walk in the woods. It's getting yourself into a position where you can relax. There's a lot can be learnt about this with your breath when you start to work with it. That's if you're man enough or woman enough to do it. Of course, you may have to go through emotion that might be in the way. You may have to go through previous trauma or past guilt, resentment, hatred. Unworthiness is very, very common amongst us, very common. You may have to go through that, and like I say, this isn't for everyone. It really isn't. I've been aware of that now for a long time, that, you know, some of us are able to do these things and others aren't. It's as simple as that. It's not that some are better. It's not an hierarchy. That's how they want you to look at it. It really is. Oh yeah, I'll stand by that until somebody comes up with something more realistic for me. It is definitely more about how you feel about yourself in the morning rather than trying to cure this ailment. Prata, is it Saduma? Saduma, you've got a one in the room.
Have I? That must have been from a while ago. But...
Okay, then it's Callie then. Excuse me.
Well, actually, what I wanted to say, Paul, ties directly into what you're expressing now, because it actually mirrors my own experience, what you're saying. Maybe 7 or 8 years ago, I was going up and down to the Women's Hospital in Liverpool, having all sorts of investigations to find out what was wrong with me bits. And at the time, I was actually reading a book by a woman called Caroline Miss, which is spelt with a Y, M-Y-S-S. And the book's called Anatomy of the Spirit. And she talks about this energetic relationship that we have with the world around us, which affects our bodies in various ways. And yet, very much, it was the case with me that I had to... I'd already faced up to the traumas and the effects of those traumas that had actually caused the illness in the first place. But what I hadn't realised was that I actually had the power, the energetic power, to overcome the illness that I was suffering from. So just about the time I finally got a diagnosis from the hospital, which took about a year or so, I'd actually already... cured myself of all the symptoms I was experiencing, so there was no need to go ahead and be operated on or anything like that. I dealt with the problem energetically, so you're absolutely right, Paul, in what you're saying. If my experience is anything to go by.
Well, yeah, I can go further than that. Scar tissue completely and EC scans, I think it's the fourth vertebrae in the spine, smashed. And the only other thing that was visible was scar tissue on the coccyx. And the lady in question, had fallen out of a tree when she was 6 years of age and broken her coccyx. She'd not broken anything else. So you got scar tissue from an old wound on the coccyx. After these energy treatments, well, not actually a treatment, after she was trained to be able to manipulate that energy around herself. Well, that's the difference between a lot of these techniques. If you're going for a top-up technique off somebody else, then stop going and go and learn how to do it yourself, because you'll end up learning how to do it yourself. You might as well just get on with it. Of course, if you're paying for treatments off somebody at £1,500 a time, then I'm sure they're much better than the ones that we can share with you for free. But if it makes you feel better, I'll charge you £1,500. I really don't mind. So, that lady then went for another EC scan at Manchester Royal. She was Manchester Royal. I might be mistaken there. And they took the scan. I was there, right in the room, and they put the scans up, there's no scar tissue on the coccyx. There's no broken disc, and there's no scar tissue on the coccyx. Even the scar tissue had gone. I actually said to the surgeon, who said only 3 months before, 4 months before, that the only solution was to have surgery, and that would be 50% that you would never walk again. And the same surgeon said to me, I asked, is it a mistake or a miracle? Is it a mistake or a miracle? Remember, at this time, I'm an engineer. So I've not had any experience of any of this stuff. And to me, it's a miracle. That surgeon said to me, no word of a lie, it's whatever works for you. It's whatever works for you. I asked him why they didn't tell people, and he just went silent. That's the truth, whether you believe it or not. It is the truth. I've heard cases of AIDS going into full remission. And I'm not going to mention the names of these people. It's their business if they want to ring in. People with blood pressure, bones that have been amputated, removed, reappearing in people's bodies. Why are these things? And some of these things will be completely fanciful to many people. Completely fanciful. People, heads of hair growing back. People who are completely bald and gaining full heads of hair. Limbs being severed from bodies and growing back. Why is this information not being put round within the medical fraternity? Why is Rick Simpson's medicine not available? Why is the cure for cancer not being put in every pharmacy, in every chemist, in every corner shop, if necessary, around the world? Why? Those are the questions I would ask. Why are they holding back this information? Why don't they want you to know? And I think I know why. Most of you are going to get angry. Most of you are going to reap retribution. Most of you, people out there, right now, hearing me speak, would do to them just what they've done to you. Unfortunately, as a species, I don't feel we've developed enough yet to be able to come up with another solution. Most seek retribution. Most do seek control. Most want the hierarchy. I don't think we've got a right to try and change them. Obviously, I'm aware that's not a choice. It's a demand that they're in. You know, they may say the same as me. For choosing something else and not being in demand. And you see, I went down that path for a while until I realised there is no choice. I'm me. I'm Paul now. Just like the rest of you. Doesn't matter where we've been or who we've been. Really isn't that important. What is important is who we are in the moment and what we're going to become. That really is up to each and every one of us. It's not up to the government. It's not up to your priest, your mullah. It's not even up to God. Now, I'm not a believer. But I tell you something. Your God is on my side. They agree. You go and ask them all. Will you find out yourself? It's up to us. That's where I am with it. We've lived with disease long enough. We've lived with turmoil, discomfort and fear pumped at us on a 24-hour basis. Your friends come in and they speak of it. Your neighbours speak of it. It's like we're all we know. So let's not beat up them and let's not seek retribution and become those things that we stand against. Be yourself. Focus on yourself. And don't give them the satisfaction of your energy. Don't do it. That process begins with each and every one of us. And I think the easiest one is just be aware of your breath. Now you'll hear a lot of people go, where are your breath? Blah, blah, blah. I tell you what, you knock it down, you strike it down. You try and get rid of it. You disagree with me. For all you people out there who think what I'm saying is crazy, do me a favour. Hold your breath for me until you agree.
We're all holding our breath, Paul.
That's all right. Silence is can be as golden as the words we speak, Bransner. I've learned that. The dramatic silences, as they call them on radio. Oh, we could just spend a few minutes with them people, just to, you know, I don't know what is the two or three people listening on the server, I don't know, it doesn't matter, it really doesn't matter how many is there. We've got a bit of time in our lives that we can come from our experience, speak our words, speak your truth, whatever it may be.
speak your truth. Mm. Some great things happening on this radio, I've got to admit. Like I say, for me, it's been a real roller coaster. But I come back to points like this and I think, well, what has served me well? I listen to my friends and my colleagues, my counsel. I listen to my counsel and I hear them speak. Couldn't knock anything. Bang on. Absolutely bang on. And then it dawned on me. What are we trying, Kira? Where do our ailments come from? We don't live in ease. It's not easy. Live it. It's hard work. That's what it is. And it shouldn't be. Your mind should be in ecstasy and bliss all the time. That's what it should be. And the reason it isn't, because they torture our brothers and sisters here on this planet. That's what happens. And we let them get away with it. Now, I'm not saying we go out and do anything. I'm really not. I'm actually saying we need to change the standpoint where we're creating from or manipulating at the least. We're not coming from a very good standpoint. You know, at best, we're recovering from a life of abuse. I want to see rapid change. I think we're going to see rapid change. I really do. The truth movement. I think we've kind of dealt enough time with the so-called people of truth. A movement. What is it? To free the dumb. As long as it's moving, it's okay. It's those that stagnate in the past. Those that live in the past. They're the ignorant. They'll never see tomorrow. They'll never see today. They dwell in the house of others, pointing their fingers at things that have gone that none of us could do anything about. Unless we're going to start transcending back through time and correcting the mistakes that we make, I don't think that's really a worthwhile adventure. So for them people, that's fine, that's their life, that's what they do. We used to call it the giant red swirly thing. It's emotional drama and manipulation, social. We have to change that. We have to be prepared to do something different. Something we don't know. Rather than what we already know. Because in my mind, what we're doing, what we have been doing, is making us uneasy. You're not doing it to me, and I'm not doing it to you. I'm doing it to myself. I'd only ask the same of you. That's all I'd ever ask. As an individual member of the collective of the family of men and women of this planet, I would ask you to focus on yourself. Not your house, or your job, or your car, or your wife, or your kids, on yourself. That's what I ask you. And I would suggest in that moment, and that's all it is, a suggestion, that your only responsibility here, your only responsibility, is to feel good. To feel good about being focused on yourself. If we all do that, there won't be any problems to sort out. Because you can sort out all your own problems if you're prepared to let them go. If you want to live in the past with your problems, that's fine. But don't point your finger at those and say they live in your future. No. We live in the moment. And in that moment, we need Sudama, I think. Who have we got? Is that number 5? Oh, no, they're telling me minutes. Excuse me. In that moment, you can find yourself. Like you say, you don't need anybody else to do it. Just follow your breath. It really is that simple. But if you want it to be more complicated, pay me £1,500 and I'll spread it out over 4 days. Do you want to say goodbye, peeps? Great show. great show. I think we've covered just about every angle there. Just about every angle there of people's ailment and recovery.
I'd like to at the end of the show hear that jingle that I talked over, because I was just thinking of dating the server, really, Paul.
And I just want to say thank you to everyone for listening, and thank you to the crew, because you are a wonderful crew. It's great working with you all. So much depth and breadth of knowledge and openness as well. It's wonderful. So thank you, everybody.
And remember, if you're out there and you want to join us here on Dark City, please get in touch and get on. It's pretty informal. Somebody else want to say goodbye there? Come on, all of you. Say goodbye.
I wanted to say thank you all and have a good weekend.
Nanu, nanu.
Okay, my brothers. I'm just putting a shout out there for grasshoppermedia.ca. I didn't create this many, many years ago now. I met a man who was going to be a Catholic priest, and he decided to not be that the day that he was going to be inaugurated into the clergy. Instead, he decided to just go into a tiny little community called Alexandria here in Canada, and he just helped people. He's helping people, and he loves people. And he told me one day, he said, "You're a jester. You're like a joker, and that's not an insult. You're the only one in the king's court that can tell the truth. So I want you to go ahead and do that. And I want you to be like Grasshopper from Aesop's Fable. And I want you to sing and dance and not worry about the winter that's coming. Because all those ants, they're just working for the queen. And that queen, she's got nothing on happiness and freedom and unconditional love. And that's what we have in between each other. And everyone listening to the sound of my voice is invited to join Grasshopper Media. Use the logo, use the blog, use anything you can, or create your own stuff, whatever you want. Do whatever you can. Just do whatever you can to show unconditional love, and try not to get yourself arrested. Try not to get yourself put in a mental ward. But at the same time, you might have to go there. You might have to learn something. There may be people in there who need you. But right now, in the airwaves, with the internet and all the ability for us, don't be afraid. There is nothing to be afraid of, because we have love on our side. We got God on our side, if that's what you want to call it. All I know is that I've been reading the King James Version, and I got a feeling there's some serious frequency in that book. And that book has been helping me. And I got in there, and the first thing in the mental ward, when I got into the mental ward, I asked, "Can I have a Bible, please?" And they said, "No." And then I found out that almost everyone in that entire place has one in their back pocket. It's weird. Coincidences are happening faster than ever. And all I want you to do is do what you do. Do what you do best. You know, you get paid thousands of dollars a day, every day, to do what you love doing, as long as you do what you love instead of trying to hurt other people. And those dollars, they're counted up as minutes while you sleep at night, because you can actually sleep at night, because you're not out there trying to make money. Merry Christmas.